6 music.
Today from 4, Elbow Selector. At 1, Pete Mitchell. Right now, Ian Lee in for George Lamb.
It's going to be a good show today. The first hour is going to be... There's going to be some good bits in it. Let's not get carried away. There's going to be some good bits in the show. It's up to you, listener, to find out where they are. God damn it. Good morning, this is Ian Lee, filling in for George Lamb, who's off and is coming back next week, if you're lucky. Can we be the first show ever on the BBC Radio Network today to be just not really mention New Year's that much? Can we do that? Jeff, the producer, can we do it?
Yes.
Kate?
Yeah.
We can do it.
You've got a different...
I like the bows in your hair. It's every day. It's a different one.
And nice.
Every day I like it more and more, for goodness sakes. We're going to try and be as... not anti-New Year's, but... Hey, listen. Apparently there are some people who are working tonight. How bad is that? Imagine. Oh, no, we mustn't laugh. If you are working tonight... I don't know why I'm laughing, because that is actually, you know... If you're really not looking forward to New Year's, the night tonight, the stroke of midnight, you can text in, actually, 64046, and let us know why you're not looking forward to it. I had a terrible faux pas yesterday. This isn't funny, but I met this woman, and we were chatting. So, did you have a good Christmas? No, I didn't. My mum died. Now, there's no way you can get out of that, is there? You're now in a very sticky... Terribly... Sorry to hear that. I had some trouble with some Ugg boots. There's no way round it, is there? You're now in a sticky quagmire, and shame on her for mentioning it. But, no, not shame on her at all. But so if you're not looking forward to the New Year's Eve tonight, you can text us in 64046 and tell us why. Because we're not going to be banging on about it for the whole 3 hours. We've got more important things to do. I believe there is a rumour that Mark Watson, the comedian... may or may not be coming on the show. We're waiting on a phone number, are we? Is that still the case?
His agent said yes. I don't know if he's aware of it yet.
Okay, so we may have Mark Watson. We should have Bob Mortimer as well coming on. We
he
should
said
have.
Yes. His agent isn't aware of it.
His agent doesn't know. I went straight to the horse's mouth and touched the source, and he's coming on at some point later on in the show. So that's good. So yes, if you're dreading the New Year's, 64046, you can text us or george.6music@bbc.co.uk. We'll start the show as we've been starting it every week with the phone test. Now, we do have phone calls on this show, and I'm aware it's not part of the 6 music culture, and that's fine, but god damn it, it's what I want. Can we have a little phone test? 08700, I nearly gave the other phone number up. Don't be phoning them up now, they won't want to talk to you. 08700 100 600, and the first person that comes through on the phone test line gets to own the show. The show is yours, so in years to come... You're sitting around, you're in a pub, conversation dries up, you can go, I don't know if you remember when Ian Lee was filling in for George Lamb on 6 Music on New Year's Eve. I own that show. You can do whatever you want with it, apart from, of course, control the content. That's down to me. But 08700 100 600, phone up, you'll speak to Ben, he's a nice fella. We'll test the lines of work and you'll come on the air and I will give you today's show as my gift to you. If that don't get them phoning in, then god damn it, only cold hard cash will, and we haven't got any of that. Right, one of the joys of working on 6 Music is not only can I witter on like an idiot for hours, but I get to bring in my own records sometimes. Imagine a radio station where you get to bring in your own records. It's amazing.
It never works.
It's foolish. It absolutely won't work, but it works here, god damn it. So I brought in a Japanese pop band. They're called Puffy, and they're brilliant. Enjoy. Now they're good, aren't they, Puffy? It's just two Japanese girls, and they're one of the best pop bands. I think they have their own cartoon series in Japan as well. I don't know if we'll find out, and I'll never tell you. Now the phone system, I believe, is working because a lady called Laura Green has phoned in all the way from Glasgow.
Hello,
Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Is your radio switched off?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you getting interference?
I'm getting a loud man in the background that I thought was me, but is there someone there with you?
No, that's CBeebies, my wee boy, is watching it. I want to deny him some iggle piggles, so I turned it off.
How old is your wee boy?
He's 2.5.
Okay. Is your wee boy scared of Lazy Town?
Spartacus is just wrong, isn't he?
My nephew Dylan is terrified by Lazy Town when it comes. I don't like it! Turn it off!
Loads of kids just rave about it, but I have to say, I don't get it myself. No, my son's got taste, obviously. Eagle Piggle is about.
Eagle Pickle, now is he in the night garden?
He is.
Yeah, yes. We go. You see, yeah, for, Jeff, in a year you'll be able to join in this conversation. Yeah. Jeff is a young child who's 5 months old.
That's correct.
In a year, you'll understand this strange. CBeebies is weird. I think that it's all of the CBeebies programs. The content is irrelevant. They just must send out some weird frequency. It's like the frequency when you're driving along and suddenly your radio kicks into BBC London and the travel news comes on. Oh. They just send out that frequency to kids because they sit there looking.
The really scary thing is you don't actually mind the repeats. I have to admit, yes. I must have seen Barnaby Bear in Dublin about 10 times.
Yes, oh, they can watch that. Anyway, what a delightful chat we have. Laura, you own today's show.
Excellent.
For legal reasons, I have to say...
I don't own much, so owning that means a lot.
I do have to say, for legal reasons, you don't own any of the copyright, you can't make any money from this, and you can't make any demands on the content of the show, but today's show... is yours.
Well, you didn't make that clear, you know. I was hoping to make a wee bit of money here.
You could. May I suggest you look up the phone number for the Daily Mail, give them a call, and let's see what we could both do a little boost here, Laura, surely. But it's yours, and I will make sure that every guest that comes in says hello to you.
Thank you.
And every now and then, we'll just mention it's your show.
And can you give them a big... Well, I was going to give them a big kiss from me, but you might not want to kiss the public.
Well, the Mark Watsons are very handsome.
A high five from me.
I will give Mark Watson a high five. And I tell you what, are you in for the rest of the duration of the show?
I most certainly am. Do you mind creating a culinary delight in my kitchen?
What are you creating? Is it a haggis?
No, we're racist. Not doing haggis.
That's racist.
Panna cotta. I'm doing a dessert and I'm also doing some soup. I'm going to a friend's for dinner tonight.
Mm, nice.
So if any of them are actually at their beds, which I doubt because they don't have kids,
Laura,
just tell them I'm sleeping.
Would you like to join me in laughing at all those poor suckers? I said suckers that are working this evening.
I know, it's terrible. Oh, dearie me.
Laura, listen, we're going to keep calling you up throughout the show, if that's all right.
Okay, cool. Well, have a good one. And you remember the high five.
High five. We'll speak to you later on. We will literally speak to you later on.
Okay, then. There we go. See you later.
Thank you, Laura. There we go. Laura Green, who will be popping up throughout the show because today's show is owned by her and her alone. 64046, if you are working tonight, we are laughing at you, but we're laughing from a kind, loving place. Let us know what you're doing. Or george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Okay. And if you've got any messages for Laura as well, you can use those numbers or call us 08700 100 600. Here's Lily Allen.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
Reckless Eric, can you believe the Monkees covered that on their 1989 comeback album, Pool It? It's the weirdest. The Monkees in the 80s and the 90s, they're a fantastic band, I'm a big fan, but their recorded music was not their best output, shall we say, as if it would be. We're kind of doing an anti-New Year's Eve show, not that we're against it, but if you're working tonight, then let us know. So can we find the person who will be having the most miserable New Year's? I think if we make that our mission for at least the first part of the show, then we might get somewhere. 64046 is the text number. george.6music@bbc.co.uk. We have our first candidate for someone maybe having the worst New Year's. It's Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
How's it going? You all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. We weren't allowed on our flight to Edinburgh this morning, so we're stuck in Bournemouth.
Okay, so this is you and your friend Laura.
Yeah.
Not Laura Green, who owns today's show. That's someone who's having a successful New Year's Eve, by the way. She's already owning a show. You're going to Edinburgh. Why did you not make your flight?
Because we had the wrong type of ID. She had a driving license with her, and we needed a passport.
Yeah. What made her think that her driving license would be okay when the accepted form of identification at any airport around the world is indeed a passport?
Because it was a domestic flight and we thought it would be okay. And it said in the small print it was fine, but because we booked in online, apparently you're not allowed to use that.
Yes. So and was it you or was it Laura who muffed this up?
It was Laura.
What are you doing? Why are you here, Joe? You should be in Edinburgh now enjoying the cold air and the slightly abrasive nature of the people who live there.
I know, I should be there, but I couldn't leave my friend by
herself. Yes, you could.
You could. Year, what time? You mean?
Yes, you could. What time did you have to get up this morning?
We had to get up at 6:30.
Oh, it's not that bad. I thought it was going to be, like, proper early, like 3 or something, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah, it's still pretty early. They were students. We're not used to it.
Students, of course. Probably off your mash from last night's pipe. Is Laura there?
Laura is here. Would you like to talk to her?
I would like to chastise her, most definitely, yes.
OK, I'll pass you over.
Thank you.
Hello?
Laura?
Yes?
You muppet. What were you...
I know, what were you thinking?
A driving licence!
In Truro.
What, you left your passport in Truro?
Yeah.
But how much of a good friend is Joe for sticking behind with you?
He's an amazing friend. I feel really bad, like really, really bad.
I'm ashamed of it. Although, I'll be honest, I didn't know you needed passports to go to Scotland, do you?
Checked online, just before I came home for Christmas, yeah. I checked to see if I'd need to bother finding my passport, because it was somewhere in my room.
Somewhere
at uni.
In your room at uni, yes.
And it said no, so I went home without it.
So what are you doing? So you're stuck. You're going to be celebrating, I believe they call it Hogmanay in the Scotland. You're going to be in stuck. Where are you based?
Well, I live in London and Joe lives in Bournemouth. So
okay.
We can't decide where.
So you're looking for something to do in South London or Bournemouth?
Well, no, I live in North London.
Oh, well, I'm having a party. Do you want to come round?
Really?
Oh, no, I'm going to bet not. Imagine that. my girlfriend, the doorbell rings.
Sure?
Yeah, my doorbell rings. The girlfriend goes, who's that? Oh, it's just 2 random girls I invited on from the radio to come in today. So, no, you can't. But you're looking for something you can do this evening.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep listening, because I'm sure one of the kindly 6 music listeners will come up with something for you.
Okay.
All right, I hope it works out.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. It won't. They're going to have a miserable New Year. They are the first candidates for the worst New Year's Eve. If you think you can beat that, or if you have a suggestion for what they can do, 08700 100 600 is the telephone number, 64046 is the text, or george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Here's Portishead. just hunt, sorry, a little bit... Rubbish, that not the song, me. What is happening now is rubbish. We're trying to track down Mark Watson, the guest for the show, but we have no contact details for him, no number, no nothing. So I'm kind of going through my phone book trying to find someone who may know him so that we can get in touch. Is this how shows are normally done at the BBC, for God's sakes? Ah, it's another scandal, for goodness sakes. We can't get hold of the guests. Wendy has called him, and she suggested that Laura and Joe, Laura Green, who owns the show, but another Laura, who didn't make it to Edinburgh. They're looking for something to do in London or Bournemouth. Wendy's called in and said they could go to a pub called the Old Market Tavern in Manchester. Now, Wendy, how the hell is that going to work, for goodness sakes? 08700 100 600 64046. It's time now, though, for the BBC 6 Music News.
On digital radio and online, BBC 6 Music.
New Year's honours for Olympic medal winners, Israel rejects Gaza ceasefire, and dirtiest cars revealed.
And in 6 Music News, Plant named on New Year's honours list, DMX pleads guilty, and Coldplay and Foo's help out Neil Diamond.
6 Music.
BBC News at 10:30. I'm Mike Crook.
BBC 6 Music. Ian Lee.
Smooth as a baby's cheek. What have we got here? Ah, yes, on the text. Ian, I have to say Joe and Laura, who didn't get onto the flight to Edinburgh with just their driving licence, are unlucky. I got onto an Edinburgh flight 3 weeks ago with just my credit card as ID. What the hell? How did you do that? We're also asking, bad New Year's. You're not looking forward to it tonight. Ian, I'm ill. I lost my voice. Boiler is broken. Freezing cold. Can't go to the party, says Libby. Ian, I'll be stuck on the door at work. I'm a nightclub manager. Nightclub manager. The manager of a nightclub.
If you're the manager, surely you can go inside.
You employ someone to stand on the door. You go inside and you flirt with the girls, go, I own this club. I own this. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, I don't drink anymore, but this is one of the reasons why I stopped. Have you ever been very, very drunk in a nightclub and wandered around dressed in a suit pretending you own it? You ever done that? Oh, I did that in a nightclub in Hong Kong, and it was very successful until the real manager came and threw me out. Then it became very unsuccessful. So, Daniel is, I'll be on the door at the work watching everyone drink and have fun whilst I freeze. Daniel, you fool, you're managing that club all wrong. Ian, I'm a professional DJ. So my new year will arrive surrounded by a bunch of drunken strangers telling me how to do my job. Ace. You can tell he's a DJ. He's put Ace on there. Pete in Birmingham. Ace. You're listening to Ian Lee filling in for George Lamb on a show that is owned by Laura Green from Glasgow. We've not spoken to her for a while. Let's try and get her up before... I nearly said before the news at 11. What was I thinking? This is one of those crazy modern stations where anything... I was on the tube. When was I on the tube? Yesterday. And I saw a man reading what can only be described as, I think, the most specific and yet most boring magazine I've ever seen. This is going from the magazine was called Trout and Salmon. And that was it, Trout and Salmon. It's a very odd... It's only those two fish are included in that magazine. No other fish is included. And you think... I'm guessing that magazine comes out monthly. How many developments can there be in a four-week period in the world of trout and salmon?
Let's find out.
Well, let's find... If anyone has read that mag... I know this is a niche thing, but we got someone to phone up yesterday and sing a salad song to us. So you've proved to me, dear listener, you lot can do anything. Yes, okay. If you know the Trout and the Salmon magazine, 08700, 100, 600, or if you know of any magazine that is more specific and duller than that, there is that, we did mention this the other day, that tractor magazine on that's being advertised, which I'm sure is an excellent product, by the way. $1.99 first issue, $7.99 thereafter. Oh, thank you very much indeed. But again, a niche thing. You can't see many people going, has the tractor magazine come yet? Bloody news agents. So if you know of anything more specific, or no, I'm going to say it, more dull, text in 64046, if you're not going to be having a good New Year's this evening, george.66music@bbc.co.uk, or 08700 100 600. Oh, now exciting, this links up with yesterday's show. We banged on the whole day about the band The Man from Del Monte. If you remember, they were Jarvis Cocker's favourite band. Have a listen.
Man from Del Monte were a seminal influence on today's indie scene. I don't think that things would... The British music scene wouldn't be the same today without their kind of massive influence.
And here they are. This is Jarvis Cocker's favourite band. It's cheating a little bit, but I don't think they noticed. Who wasn't tapping their toes to that? That's where pop music went through a very jangly phase in the late 80s, early 90s, and they were the masters of it, dear God. The Man from Del Monte, Water in My Eyes, Jarvis Cocker's favourite band of all time. He said so, so it's a fact. Speaking of facts, you've just looked up Trout and Salmon magazine on the internet. Give us some details about it, please, Kate.
It's been going for quite a long time.
Yeah, how long exactly?
Since 1955. It would appear there's quite a lot of Trout and Salmon news.
1955! Yes, in the olden days.
Can't argue with that.
Well, you can't argue with those statistics. Have we done anything that's lasted 53 years? No, of course we haven't, and we never will. I wonder if Trout and Salmon magazine is being hit by the international credit crisis. Surely that would be one of the first things to go when you're pennies.
I think in hard times people turn to fishing.
Maybe they do. There must be somebody out there. Look, I'm saying that, of course, there isn't listening to Six Music. You guys are all hep cats, aren't you? But if anybody out there has ever read the Trout and I'm genuinely surprised that it's been going for 50 years. Oh, no, this is from an anonymous. I don't believe this. My friend used to work on Air Conditioning and Refrigeration magazine. I can believe that. I do occasionally. My life is a little bit like Jack D's in Lead Balloon. I do some of those marvellous corporate gigs because they pay very, very well. But I did one. I can't remember the exact thing, but it was an awards ceremony a couple of Christmases ago, and it was for people who... I can't remember what the technical term is, but people who dress shops, who put the... who stack the... who make the shops look nice on the inside and the outside. And I didn't know, I didn't have a clue what to say, but I remembered from my days of working at BJAM that the stalls they have by the cat by the tills...
Sadly, no longer with us.
No longer with us. Iceland, yeah. But BJAMs, oh. But the you know where they have the sweeties by the tills? They're called point of sales. I remembered that phrase. And so I threw in an off-the-cuff remark about point of sales. Everybody wet themselves with laughter. They thought it was the funniest thing that had ever been said. It was like Jasper Carrot himself had come down and done the funky moped again. Point of sales got all the laughs. Can't remember why I was saying that. There was a reason. Anyway, we got another text, and we'll play Yazoo. Oh, you're going to give them a call? Should we give them a call? Okay, yes, we'll give them a call, because Yazoo have been waiting far too long. They can wait no longer. Yazoo, who'd have thought it, eh? Where are they? These mashups are happening of their own free will, and do you know what? I'm digging it. Okay, this is Ian Lee filling in for George Lamb. What fun we're having here. Aren't we, gang?
Yeah. Yay!
Okay. we've asked for someone to call in who has read the Trout and, indeed, the Salmon magazine. We have Phil on the phone. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. You read this magazine, do you?
Absolutely. Every month,
What does it give you?
Yeah, it's all that information about how to catch more trout and salmon, yeah.
But surely you must have acquired... You know, I'm sure it's a wonderful publication, but how many new developments are there in the trout and salmon world every month? Three?
Yeah, not too many, to be honest.
No.
They're tending to go over the same old stuff, it's gone on for 50-odd years, so... But it's an interesting read. It's your hobby, you know?
Oh, I love the way you're going, it's full of great stuff. Actually, they do repeat themselves a little bit. But so give me an example.
Yeah, it does become a bit monotonous.
What was in the Christmas special of Trout and Salmon magazine?
I couldn't tell you without getting the magazine out and reading
just
it.
Just some trout.
Yeah, it more or less gives you all details on the different methods and different places where to go fishing and this, that and the other.
River,
It's quite interesting if you're into it.
Have you ever written anything for the Trout and Salmon? Have you ever done one of those things where you take a picture of you holding a big salmon or a trout?
I did actually. I caught a big salmon and I sent a photograph in to the editor and he contacted me and I wrote an article about it. Yeah. That was back in 2004. I'm just waiting for you to stop laughing.
No, I'm just listening.
I can send it to you if you want.
No, please, please don't. If you can get it on an email today, then yes, we'd love to see it. I used to go fishing when I was much, much younger, and then I stopped. But so the article was, you know, I stood on a bank and fished a fish and
yeah, bit of a true life story about how I caught the fish and this, that, and the other. I got quite a few good comments about it.
And how did you catch that fish?
I caught it on the fly.
Nice one.
Yeah, the fly fishing for them, yeah.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for your time. Bless you for coming. What are you doing this evening? Have you got anything planned or are you working?
I'm cooking a bit of a dinner party tonight.
Lovely.
I'm staying in because my wife-to-be is pregnant, so I'm not going out partying.
Bit of fish?
I'm staying in. I'm going to go and buy a lobster and cook it for tonight, I think.
You're not going to catch one?
No, it's close season now. We're all like pent up waiting for the new season to start.
And just for all those anglers out there who are tensed up, when does that new season start?
For salmon, it varies, but it's the 15th of January is the opening day.
Well,
in
Phil,
Scotland.
Enjoy your 15th of January and have a good New Year's tonight.
Thank you.
Take care, mate. Bye bye. There we go. Phil's my favourite caller I've ever spoken to in years of doing this, is you two. Please don't heed the advice of Ms. Jasmine Sullivan there and bust the windows of anybody's car. It is highly illegal and blimmin' annoying. So, don't do it. Not my show today, I'm afraid. It's not George the Lamb's show. It's nobody's show apart from Laura Green's show. Good morning again, Laura.
Good morning, Ian.
You called up, you tested the phones, and the show was given to you as a reward for your industrious... Nissability.
I'm very dexterous.
What, really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, that means you can do things. I thought that meant you men and women. No, okay, sorry, right, I've got that. You're confused. So, have you been listening to the show?
Yes, I have been listening to the show.
What do you think of your show?
Well, yeah, I'm rating it. Yeah, it's pretty good. My son, he loves Dizzy Rascal, so if you've got a wee slot later on maybe to play that, I could actually get him to dance
some
with me.
Dizzy
as well.
Rascal, I'm afraid we don't have any. We've got Athlete coming up. They're a bit like Dizzy Rascal in as much as they've
quite
got
quite similar.
It's very similar genres. You know, the sort of the pop to whatever Dizzy Rascal does.
Yes, so, quite.
So we'll find something that's nothing like Dizzy Rascal and pretend it is for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a good
What's been your highlight?
Well, you see, the thing is, I've been trying to make my soup, and I've also been stressing with my cat panna cotta recipe as well.
Right, so,
to be honest,
you've not been,
I think my brain's maybe sort of
listening.
50-50 on the show.
So you've not been listening.
And my cookbooks.
So you've
I don't know, have you ever made panna cotta before?
Listening.
Every recipe I find is completely different, so I don't know. I might have to just...
Fun has gone from this relationship, hasn't it?
I think.
It's just wittering on. So basically, it's your show,
yes.
And you've not been listening to it.
But I have been listening, but I'm also stressing. I get stressed out with cookery. Things like, where are the guests? I thought you were going to have some.
Yeah, certainly we should be. Oh, hang on a second. Look, I'm late. I've got to play what is known in the radio business as a top of hour. I shouldn't play it now. It doesn't work, but I've got to. BBC Six Music. Just setting up, you know, everything. Just telling us what we're listening to. Any more words?
On digital.
There we go. Words on digital.
Online.
BBC
Six
BBC
Music.
BBC Six Music. That's where you can find it, and that's what it is. Now, we've established ourselves. We positioned ourselves there. we were supposed to have Mark Watson coming into the studio now. We don't know where he is. We can't get hold of him.
Oh,
I don't think it's his fault.
He should be ashamed of himself.
No. No, I'm a big fan of Mark Watson. He's very funny. But yes, Mr. Watson, shame on you for probably not getting the message from your agent that we wanted you to come on the phone, for goodness sakes. Laura, listen, good luck with the panna cotta. We'll check in a bit later on and find out how it's going.
Okay, good cool. Work. But I'll listen a bit more keenly.
If you would,
little
bit rude that you've not paid. But hey, it's your show. I own a flat.
Okay, cool.
I'm not there all the time.
Later.
See you later on. Bye bye. She's not bothered at all. Okay. 08700 100 600 64046. The text. Call in about anything. We'll throw some more bits and pieces out after this. We've skipped Athlete. I do apologise. We may get back to them later on, but to be honest, I doubt
he's
it.
He's a what? He's a newspaper man.
Okay, an emergency plan has been drawn up. We were supposed to have Mark Watson on the phone. And there's obviously been a mix-up somewhere. It's not Mark Watson's fault. I'm a big fan of Mark Watson. If you don't know him, he's a brilliant comedian. He's fantastic. There's obviously been some confusion with agents over the Christmas holiday period. That's fine. But it does on my screen, it does say, coming up, you know, after got Amy Winehouse coming up, after Amy Winehouse, Mark Watson. Now, without Mark Watson here, we're a little bit screwed. So, if your name... This is tenuous. If your name is Mark Watson, could you text in 64046 or give us a call 08700 100 600 and we'll interview you? I think that within the rules of Ofcom I think we're allowed to do that. So it's all right, is it? We can do that. So if your name is Mark Watson, or even close to Mark Watson...
In about 10 minutes, if you're a Mark.
Yes. If you've got a name. If you're a Mark Watson, or your name is similar to Mark Watson, I'm begging of you, for the sake of this show, 08700 100 600, call in. We call you back. It doesn't even cost you that much. We will call you back. Or text in 64046. We need you in 2.5 minutes after Amy Winehouse. Dear God, please help us. Okay, let's go to the team and let's see how we're doing on the hunt for Mark Watson. Producer Jeff.
I can confirm no Mark Watson's listened to this show.
No Mark Watson's listened to it. And Kate, on the text, no...
On the upside, Simon in Weatherby's texted in to say that
yes.
he saw him on telly once and that he is funny.
Okay, so that's literally no use to me whatsoever, Simon. So thank you very much indeed. Okay, we move on to phase two of the trying to get a guest to replace Mark Watson. If your name is Mark, or your initials are MW. If your name is Mark, or your initials are MW, then your digital radio needs you. 08700 100 600 or text in 64046. I will not take no for an answer. Will I, Kanye West?
In the night I hear him talk, the coldest story ever told.
I do like... like it when they do the robot sing. You know, like the Cher. I like the robot singing. The voice box. What's it called? Vocoder. Is it vocoder? The vocoder. Invented, of course, by Peter Frampton. Probably. I don't know. You're not allowed to say things like that unless it's factually researched on the Wikipedia. Well, Kate, I believe you've got some texts you'd like to read out. The plethora. Oh, look at that. Someone is bright and bushy-tailed. Yes.
We've got Mark Hollis. He says, there's nothing remotely funny about me, but Michael McIntyre gets away with it, so I thought I'd try.
Oh! Now, listen, Michael McIntyre is a gentleman who uses the same gym as me, and he's funny. You're a big fan of Michael McIntyre, aren't you, Jeff? I don't get why he does the posh voice on stage. Why did the lady came down to turn down my bed. I said, you're not the first person to turn down my bed. Because he doesn't talk like that in real life.
Does he not?
No, he doesn't talk like that at all. But he's come from nowhere, hasn't he? I mean, he'll say, I've been doing stand-up for 15 years. How dare you say I've come from nowhere? I've been doing it for 15 years. But suddenly he's the biggest thing in the world.
He's just very good.
You're a big fan. Okay, so, okay. Next text, please.
We've got Jim in Brum, who says, I've got two friends called Mark Thompson. That sounds a little like Watson, but that's more tenuous, I think.
Yeah.
But my favourite one is from Kev.
Kev.
Who just says, how well do you think this is going on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, Kev, about 2 minutes ago, I would have said 1. But at this precise moment in time, I'd say 7, because we've got Mike Watton on the phone.
Mr. Ian Lee.
God bless you and all who sail in you, sir. We were looking for Mark Watson, the comedian, due to some muff-up somewhere down the line. He's not on the show, so instead
Who's Mark Watson? Who? You've got Mike Watton.
We've got Mike Watton. It's good. So, Mike, tell us a little bit. How did you first get into stand-up comedy?
Well, originally, I was a painter and decorator,
oh,
and my
yes.
slogan was, if your room's painted blue, it's three walls for the price of two. And my mum said, that's a funny slogan, why don't you do stand-up comedy? So I did.
Let's just dissect that slogan for a second. If your room is blue...
It's three walls for the price of two.
So were you... Have I missed something here? You charged them less?
Yeah. Three walls for the price of two if your room's painted blue. There's a lot of blue houses in Surrey.
Let me just think for a second. What on earth does that mean? Never mind, onwards and upwards. So you ditched the painting and decorating to become one of Britain's most promising young stand-up comedians.
Yeah. I thought maybe I'd do a Welsh accent as well.
Oh, go on then. A little bit of racially offensive accents. We like that. I guess go on then. Let's have it.
Oh, no, that was last year's act, sorry.
Oh, OK, so you don't do that anymore.
I don't do that anymore.
I believe you've appeared on...
I'm normally on things like Mock the Week, 8 out of 10 Cats.
I was going to say Mock the Week. What was it like appearing on Mock the Week?
Dara O'Brien. Very offensive.
OK, well, I was hovering over the button there, just in case we get into trouble. Dara O'Brien, I've met
Frankie
him...
Frankie Boyle, very sweet.
Yes,
very
he's
kind,
very nice.
Very gentle.
And you've done 8 out of 10 Cats. I did 8 out of 10 Cats, and I had a horrible, horrible time, because one of the people on that show... It's not very nice, so that's all I'm going to say. But did you have a good time on there?
I had a lovely time.
Fantastic.
I was in the audience for that one, but I still had a lovely time.
Yeah, I did 8 out of 10 Cats, not much humour in this at all, on the 7th of the 7th, when the bombs had gone off. I got a phone call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon saying, we're still recording 8 out of 10 Cats. Two of the guests have pulled out. Can you come in and do it at short notice? I'm like, well... Yeah, go on then, I'll come in. So I got in at 7 o'clock. They said, oh, by the way, because the bombs have gone off, the BBC is closed down, we're not allowing any audience in. So I had to do a comedy panel show, which, as I was saying before the show, I'm not a fan of doing, in front of nobody. It was
nobody.
The weirdest...
But now look how your career's changed. You're speaking to Mike Watton.
I'm speaking to Mike... Let me just look at what's his name. It's Mike Watton. OK, Mike, very quickly, what does the new year hold for you and your comedy career?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I'm hoping that Ian Lee will be my agent. Maybe we can go on tour together.
Oh, get out of here. I'll speak to you off air, Mike. Mike, thank
Wait
you so...
Wait a minute, Ian. Wait a minute. The question on everybody's lips. What did you get Fandango for Christmas?
What? Fandango, of course, is my girlfriend. I got her a delightful pair of fluffy slippers with balls on.
You are kind, sir. Goodbye.
I'm a gentleman. Thank you, Mike. There we go. Mike Watson, ladies and gentlemen. Save the show. Save the show, which is always good. Where are we now? Oh, let's do a couple of these texts and emails and just clean up some business, shall we, before we play One Night Only. Ian, I get Trout and Salmon every month, and I've even written a couple of articles for it. Great magazine. I get the feeling about Trout and Salmon that I could probably write an article for it and get it published. Kate, you could go and write an article now. It would probably get published. Ian, I used to work as an industrial cleaner at Hanhan Steelworks, where, during tea breaks and among the countless copies of the Sunday Sport, were copies of Pigeon Racing magazine. What must come from such a diverse cross-section of reading boogles the mind. I suspect Hugh from Croydon meant boggles, but it was a boodle, boogles. And one more. Ian, I worked in a newsagents once, and we used to sell a mag called Trees Weekly. How much do trees change in a week? I don't know. A man did buy it once, but not on a weekly basis. This is Bethel in Southampton. Keep it coming in. Here's One Night Only. Thank you. I think we got away with them. Oh, my mic's up. No, sorry. Well, well, well. How the turtle turns and the... I'm going somewhere with this sentence and I just suddenly realise I don't know where I'm going with it. Well, dear listeners, yes, people texting, oh, the show's not very good, Ian. When's George coming back? It's a bit of a mess, a bit shambolic. You can't do it. No wonder you're not on telly any... Well, yours is all I can say to that, because... Who have we found, producer Jeff?
Mark Watson!
Mark Watson is going to be on the show! Yes, Ben, while you're out there making private phone calls, we saw you. We saw you. We have managed to hunt down via the network of people that we vaguely know who know people, who sort of know people, who have met Mark once. We phoned him up. Producer Jeff harangued him and bullied him. He's such a sweet gentleman. But you bullied him into coming on the show in about 5 or 10 minutes. That'll learn everybody to laugh at me. No, hang on, to criticise. Anyway, so that's cool. So he's coming up. We shall have Bob Mortimer in about an hour as well, which should be a delight. Let me quickly read an email about Machinery Monthly. I'm a proud subscriber to Tractor and Machinery Monthly. Now, there's more here. I don't believe this. Recently, I entered their competition to win a beautiful Massey Ferguson 35X. I won. The problem is, living in central London, there's not too much space to have a plough. John from Elephant and Castle, sir, I don't believe a word of it. We can take a breather now, I think. It'll be very, very nice. Let's wait for this tune to end and we'll go to the news, shall we? Yes, that sounds like a plan. Yes, here it is. It's the BBC Six Music News. Thank you.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Israel rejects ceasefire, fresh row about hospital car parking. And China claims biggest dinosaur fossil site.
And in Six Music News, Robert Plant to get CBE, DMX in court, and Kings of Leon make a New Year's wish.
Six Music.
BBC News at 11:30. I'm Mike Crook.
Six Music.
Six Music.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
I'm actually... I don't do shout-outs and big-ups and dedications. That's for my sister, Jo, who, when I grew up, was growing up, she's older than me, used to listen to Japan all the flipping time and drive me and my mum mental. David Sylvian can run really fast. Who cares? But that's my sister, who's been listening to me this week, which is always nice. OK, dear listener, we promised it. And when I make a promise... I 6 times out of 12 will almost try and stick to it. We promised you Mark Watson. We have Mark Watson on the phone. Good morning, Mark.
Hello, Ian.
Can I just say that this is all the fault of your agents, Lisa and Tori, who have yet again muffed up terribly, sir.
I can't imagine why anyone would be represented by them,
isn't it? I know, it's awful, isn't it? Hey, listen, how are things with you? Are you all right?
Oh, I'm all right. I'm just sort of kicking back. I'm about to have a bath. I've got a banana that I'm about to eat. Basically, I had a series of plans before I knew that I was going to do this interview, but I'm still going to do all those plans. So I'm
just a little later.
Yeah, just a little later, but, you know, all these things can wait, whereas this couldn't wait, really, so, yeah.
And you literally had no idea that we were hunting you down.
If, when I woke up this morning, if someone said to me, you'll soon be talking to Ian Lee, I'd have been gobsmacked, yeah. It's just goes to show that a day never sort of gives you what you expect from
it. We had to get someone called Mike Watton on. We tried to find someone called Mark Watson to replace you, we couldn't. The closest we could get is a Mike Watton.
Which is not too bad, but, I don't know, it's almost worth going for the real thing if you're that determined, isn't it?
It is. So, now, listen, you're a stand-up comedian. I saw you... when's your DVD coming out? Is it out yet?
I've recorded it, but it doesn't... it'll be sometime in the coming year. And, looking at the pattern of people's releases last year,
yes,
most of them were suspiciously between about December the 21st and 24th.
Right.
So, it wouldn't amaze me if they hung on till next Christmas.
You're going to wait a whole year for it?
Well, they could do it another time of year, but I got the distinct impression that people were keen to release DVDs around Christmas last year, so...
why would that be?
Yeah, it's a long time to wait, isn't it? It's agony for the public.
You could do it near somebody's birthday, because then it could be a birthday present.
I suppose so. It's just that... the market's not quite as big for other people's birthdays other than Jesus's, but I suppose if there's a day which is such a popular birthday that it's almost as widely celebrated as Christmas, that might do it.
Well, maybe we'll find out. I came and saw the recording of it. I don't think I spoke to you on the night because you were on stage, you know, telling jokes and stuff. How did you
tied up with that?
You're a little bit busy there. It's a shame you could have, you know, waved or something. You made the effort, you know, to turn up.
Again, it's just, it looks a bit odd on the DVD.
Yes.
Sort of 10 minutes are given over to me waving to different people.
Yes, that's true.
You don't get the full effect at home.
Could be on the extras. How do you think it went? I think you recorded two nights, if I'm correct.
Well, actually, I only did one. I was meant to do two.
Oh.
And then I did one, and I'm going to do another one sometime in the coming year.
What?
At a different venue. I think it went all right. It's a bit odd, though, because... you do sort of think, if a joke doesn't quite go well, you didn't quite say it right or something, you think, oh, that's a shame, that's been recorded, and that'll be the permanent record of that joke until civilization ceases now.
What's...
So it is a quite high pressure.
I'm not going to do it, you know, we had Mike Wozniak in the other day, who's very funny. And
Is that another attempt to get someone with...
Yes, it was. It was the closest we could find then. You know, we talked about, you know, remember on the Des O'Connor show where Des would feed Bradley Walsh the line, something like, well, Bradley, I heard that you rode into the...
happened, yeah.
You rode into the studio on your bike today. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I suppose you've got a funny story about a horse, have you, Bradley?
Well, funny enough, yes, I have. No, I'm not going to do that to you, Mark, but what is the punchline to your favourite joke you tell?
Oh, someone told me a good joke the other day, which, because I never normally do jokes, really, I just sort of ramble and hope for the best.
Yeah, the scattergun approach, yes.
Quite a good joke. Oh, it's about, well, all right, just the punchline.
Yeah.
Okay, it is, all I have to do is outrun you. Yes, it's a cracker, isn't it? Imagine how good it is with the rest of the joke attached to it.
Do you know what, that's the rest of the show. People, if you could text in the punchlines to jokes, that's all we want. 64046.
It
does as well. And also, someone's giving you the setup. I always get very tense if someone's telling me a joke, thinking, they're telling me this on a one-to-one basis. There's now a lot of pressure on me to laugh. And I don't like that pressure.
Right. The longer it goes on, the more worried you get about the payoff. Really.
Very uncomfortable. So we'll just have the punchlines. You're about to start what I believe is called a tour.
Yes, it is. That's the only word for it, really. Yeah. Well,
it is. It's a series of concerts strung together by you moving around the country, starting in Cambridge on January the 14th.
That is right. Yeah, this is all. You've really got the inside on me.
Well, I haven't. Can I tell you what I've got? I've got a crib sheet on you that's headed Mark Thomas. So I'm hoping these facts refer to you.
Mark Thomas, this happens surprisingly often. Quite often people think I'm, or they sort of recognise me in the street, but then they think that I'm Mark Thomas. I mean, Mark is a reasonably common name, you'd think, but no, this definitely refers to me. If he turns out to also be doing a 50-day tour that starts in Cambridge on that night, then we're in some sort of...
It's going to be confusing, isn't it?
Disastrous, the prestige-esque.
Is there... Have you got a website where the kids can go and have a look and get all these dates from?
Yeah, markwatsonthecomedian.com.
It actually says the comedian.
It does, yeah.
Who's the other Mark Watson, then?
Unfortunately, there's a guy with a page... Well, there's two rival Mark Watsons. One of them writes books on stuff like Java programming and also business. One of them is a business sort of guru who, again, writes... But there's three people writing books called Mark Watson. There's also a guy who's got a massive collection of stick insects called Mark Watson. And by the time I got around to sort of trying to register my name as a URL,
yes,
this bloke was already there, proudly grinning next to these tanks of sticking
sets. Oh, what a smug get.
I know, I can believe it, really. So I thought I'd give myself Mark Watson, the comedian, to differentiate in
well
case...
Done. Brackets, not the stick insect man.com.
No, I want people's expectations to be realistic.
You wrote a book? Was it easy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't you do it?
I wouldn't mind doing one, but I just cut the thought of, like, writing a book bores me.
That is the problem. I think if you're not keen to write a book, then writing a book's maybe not for you.
See, I want to have a book written, but I don't want to do the writing.
Well, actually, it's not that easy. It's quite hard. So, in all honesty, if you're sort of reluctant to do it even before you start, then I would suggest you don't take it on, probably. Unless... I mean, people like Jordan write a book.
Yeah.
Sort of simply by asking someone else to do it, don't they? Quite a lot. You could get
the,
a ghostwriter.
The ghostwriter. I'm a big fan of the ghostwriter, you see, but I don't believe in ghosts, so I just don't think it's going to work.
I'm not sure if they actually are supernatural apparitions or just kind of out-of-work journalists, normally.
Ah, you've cleared up a big mystery in my life.
Well, you should look into it, at least.
Very quickly, we'll let you go and... are you going to eat your banana in the bath? Because that would be crazy.
It's one of those things that sounds like a luxurious idea, but it might be too much.
Jeez, it's the thing, I don't like eating in the bath. Another thing I don't like, sorry to go off on a slight tangent, but I'm going to. You know the whole... bearing in mind, it's 11:45 in the morning, but the whole food sex thing, when... a lady once did say, let's take these strawberries up to the bedroom. No, let's eat them, and then let's go. I don't like the just the mess of it all.
That's why we have things like a dining room and a kitchen.
Yes,
it?
Exactly.
No, I think that's very odd. I mean, you've got to focus on one thing at a time.
I can't multitask. It's
no, I don't think any of us can in those sort of circumstances.
Very quickly, you mop the week. You've been on that, haven't you?
Many times, yeah.
I've heard it's hideous to go on. Is that true? Be honest. Come on, no one's listening. Let's be honest.
It's a difficult task. It can be a bit of an ordeal because...
so tactful.
You try and get a joke in, but then someone else does it. And unfortunately, because everyone is a stand-up comedian, yeah. Everyone thinks of the same jokes, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so then it tends to go to the sort of more confident people.
Punt or Dennis.
It's hard. Yeah. I wouldn't say hideous, but... Yeah.
Okay.
It's difficult.
Listen, thank you so much for coming on. Literally, a moment's notice, thanks to Tori and Lisa. Tell them I'm furious with them.
I guess you could tell them yourself, really, by text.
I could do that, but I don't really want to get involved. You see, I just don't want to...
No,
I'll send them a text saying it all went very nicely and thanks for their help, I think.
Well, I'll begin the new year by giving my agents an absolute rollicking, then. That'll definitely be good, yeah.
Good luck, Mark. Listen, thank you very much. Have a good one. Take care.
See you, Ian. Thanks.
Bye-bye. There we go. What a delightful gentleman he is. Well done, everyone who hunted him down and we pinned him down. Here's Milo. This is a dirty record, isn't it? It's dirty. Listen to the filth in it. Ugh! He's making love to his guitar there, and it sounds fantastic. I'm doing something that I never normally do. I'm talking over the end of a record, fading it down, then fading it up again like this. Never do that. Never do that. I'm not a DJ. Bass guitar, drums, and then it ends like that. I was flirting with being a proper DJ for a second there. Made me uncomfortable, so I won't be doing that again. It's as simple as. We've asked... Oh, look, very quickly, we'll do the punchlines to jokes in a minute. I've just seen two emails about what could be perceived by non-fans as dull magazines. That's the tactful way around it. TP in Banstead says, I used to work on the classified section of Plastics and Rubber Weekly. It sounds like it's a bit sexy. Probably not. I'd imagine they're purely functional. Now, this is a weird one from Mike... Heavy Horse World? Is that real?
It exists, yeah.
It's just heavy horses. Yeah. Like fat horses.
They're quite big, yeah.
Surely all horses are heavy, aren't they? Ben, you couldn't lift a horse, could you?
I don't think so, Ian, no.
You could probably lift a pony, I think, but a full, proper grown horse.
Beef.
You are beef, and he actually flexed his muscles there, dear listener, and we all went... Bit weird. What was he done that for? It's a heavy horse world. Okay, well there we go. That's that. Okay, and we've asked for your punchlines to your favourite jokes. To all of you people, I thought there was a filter on that text system that stopped filth coming in.
Apparently not.
The filth. I've not seen it. It's shielded from my naive young eyes. But poor Kate has been corrupted by the text on 64046. So I've just told them there's no filter. They're all going to be sending filth now, aren't I? Nuts. Simon says, his favourite punchline is, a badger chasing a nun. There we go, what fun. The punchline to my favourite joke is, and lastly, I've always wanted a head like a giant orange. Yeah, okay, maybe not quite such a good idea as I thought when I said it. I don't think I can manage another 67 of those. And then there's a text here. I don't know how this is snuck in. It just says boobies. So I don't quite know. It actually does. Someone thought that was worthy of printing up. You can keep sending those in if you want, 64046. I think for the next hour as well. We've got Bob Mortimer coming on at some point, probably about 1:25, I'd imagine. But for the last hour of the show, can we play a game that I was playing a lot over Christmas called Ooh, Don't They Look Old? it was played a lot in a... Ooh, Don't They Look Old? I'll give you the example that we came up with. Watching Millionaires the other night, Chris Tarrant. Oh, don't he look old? He looks ancient. It looks like my granddad, who's no longer with us, which is not before he died. Let's get out of that. He looks so old. Tarrant's always, looks kind of mature. But he suddenly, his head has kind of shrunk a bit. His hair has receded. The skin, he looks very, very old. Very old. And Barbara Windsor, Christmas Day, EastEnders. Now, she is old. Fair play. And I think it's slightly different with women because they try and maintain a youthful appearance perhaps more than men do. But she just suddenly looked very, very old all of a sudden, didn't she? Old. So if you have any suggestions for people you think, oh, don't they look old? Give us a call. 08700 100 600. 08700 100 600. Or text in 64046. Oh, you can email if you want. george.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you. Come on, everybody, it's time for the New Year's Eve sing-along. Here we go. Oh, I could hide neath the wings. Come on, Laura, of the bluebird as she... Laura, you're not singing in with us?
Sing.
The croc alarm would never ring. Ben, you're going to join in the chorus. Come on, here we go in a second. But it rings and I rise. Just me. Wipe the sleep out of my eyes. Come on, everybody. Here comes the chorus. It's the New Year's... Not yet. Not yet, Ben. Here it comes now. Take it away. Cheer up, sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean to a daydream believer and a homecoming queen? Okay, right. Right. Kate, right. Laura, well done. Top marks to you. Jeff, you're backed away from the mic. Shame on you. Ben, well done. Well done. Kate, just shaking her gun. I'm not doing it. You can't make me do this. It's not in my contract. I have to do this. Shame on all of you. We had fun, didn't we, Laura? Me, you and Ben.
Well, we did. Only really knew the chorus, so sometimes I let you down. Yeah.
Exactly. Well done. Now, you're owning today's show. Hey, maybe me, you and Ben should go out one night.
That would be great. If you're ever up in Glasgow, I can show you the night spot.
Not going to be in Glasgow ever again. Oh, I spent 3 months working in Glasgow. That's enough for me. the show, we... Listen, the last hour, how did it rate for you, the show's owner?
It's been great. Yeah. I'm glad you got your man in the end.
Got him in the end.
On.
Yep.
I'll definitely be buying his DVD next Christmas.
Well, when it comes out next Christmas, and we've all forgotten this interview, but we'll be reminded again, and then we'll rush out and buy the DVD. He is very funny. And what about Mike Watton, or whatever his name was, the guy we got on as a replacement?
Witten.
What was his name? No, not Mark Wooten. Mark, what was his name? Mike Wilson.
Watson. Or
Mark Watton.
Watton, yeah, he was top as well. If he's ever up in Glasgow again, I'll definitely be going to see him.
Okay,
as long as he doesn't sing those horrible mocks of each,
let's
sound a bit nasty.
Let's forget all of this nonsense, because the question that is on the lips of the nation, how is Laura Green's panna cotta?
Well, I think I'm going to forget the panna cotta,
Oh, nuts.
I think we'll forget that.
Laura, listen, thank you very much. We've got Bob Mortimer coming on in half an hour. Will you come on and ask him a question?
Yeah, sure,
okay.
No problem.
You've got about 30 minutes to think of a good question for Bob Mortimer.
Okay, then.
Do you know?
And you didn't high-five Mark for
He was on the telephone. I'm going to high-five Ben for you. Here's a high-five. Here we go. Ow! Jeez, firm hands you've got. Laura, we'll speak to you in about half an hour.
Okay,
there
bye.
We go. Thank you. What a lovely, lovely lady. It's her show. And we sang along. Oh, look, there is a band that we talked about the other day as being overrated. Rolling Stones, Tumbling Dice. Kate, you defended the Stones. Tumbling Dice, where do you put this in their canon of mediocrity?
Tune.
You're saying this is a tune?
Mm.
This is one of the slightly... I will admit this is one of the better ones. I'd put this, you know, if I had to pick three, Angie, the song about the horse, and the Tumbling Dice, the wild... Why? What's wrong with Wild Horse? It's beautiful. Wild Horse.
The Wild. Keep. No, that's great.
Yeah, unbelievable.
BBC Six Music. Ian Lee.
Well, the show is... well, it's moving. There's no denying that. It's now 12:15, which means 45 minutes left, and then it's party time. You had your New Year's party last night, Kate.
Yeah, we did.
Did you get off your mash?
No. Well, no. Very responsibly.
Yes.
But there was a slight flaw in the plan.
Yes.
In that the pub that we were meant to meet at, we got there and it was closed.
Oh. Why? Why was it closed?
Lock-in. Oh. That's
so hang on, you'd arrange this party.
There was 20 of us.
And you'd arrange to go to a pub and get slaughtered, right? But the pub was shut.
Closed.
So what did you do?
Went to the next one.
There we go, simple, there we go. A modern thinking young lady. Ben, what are you doing this evening?
I'm going to a house party tonight. Yeah, in Chiswick.
A house party, that just means in someone's house, does it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So I would just call that a party.
Yeah, going to a party.
Okay, no, I'm not criticising you. I'm just, you're a young man, I'm an old man. These are the differences, you know, in the way we... I would just say it's a party. In my day, a house party meant...
No. Today, you have parties in clubs these days, or parties in pubs, but a house party is... Wow. It's a student thing, to be honest.
Isn't it marvellous how the language changes? You can get great wine from a grape. What was it Stephen Fry was saying? Get wine from a grape... But a sentence from a word? No. Words. Something like that. Jeff, you have a child.
I should be sat down, opening a bottle or two of breast milk.
There we go. Oh, he said, don't say breast milk. I've got to play some music. Breast milk. You made me think of your wife's breast now. I don't even know her. What an image you put in my mind. Shame on you. Shame on you. Everybody who's working tonight... Ah, well, you know, them's the breaks. We are compiling the... they're looking old list. Started off with Chris Tarrant, who looks ancient. Tom Jones, we've... these people are actually quite old.
Yes.
But it's just in the last 12 months...
Suddenly old.
They've crossed the line. Tom Jones, it's the beard, the Tom Jones. It's the beard. You don't want Tom Jones with the beard. I preferred him in the 70s, with the big sort of Elvis-styly Sydneys that he had going on. They were good. McCartney...
It's been a difficult year.
Yes, he's had he's had a tough one.
He has.
It's got to be said. And Cliff Richards. Now, I know he is old, but him and McCartney have always been like the Peter Pans of pop. You know, they've always been all very youthful. But now McCartney's all jowly and saggy. I saw Cliff Richard on Songs of Praise. I was genuinely flicking through, and Cliff Richard was on a Songs of Praise special, and there was literally nothing better on the television.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to watch that. And, you know, it's interesting watching Cliff talk about Jesus and stuff. But just, he looks so old, you know. You just think, Cliff, please, for goodness sake. He said, the lady said, when are you going to pack it in, Cliff? Well, you know, I'm going to pack it in. Oh, it's my Paul McCartney, hang on. How does Cliff Richard talk? Someone do a Cliff Richard, Ben, can you do?
No.
It wasn't bad, that's not bad.
Thanks.
Because I can do McCartney. McCartney's like, well, you know, I invented the Beatles, it was my idea, you know. Cliff Richard's similar. Anyway, he said, I'll pack
it's
it in.
More southern, Cliff.
But slightly American.
Well, you know, that's it. That's what he does. Yeah, you know, yeah, that's it. Thanks. You know, I'm going to pack it in when I think I'm too old for it. I think you're too old for it now, Cliff. Come on, for goodness sakes. Is anybody old Mick Jagger? We were saying as well, Kate.
Yeah. Well, this is just my personal opinion.
Personal opinion.
But I feel that the Jagger now quite looks like John Humphreys, which is a bit less rock and roll.
Oh dear. John Humphreys is a strange fish. I did Mastermind a couple of years ago. Just because they asked me, didn't get any money for it. Your fee went to charity. Yeah, nuts to that. But I did it because I thought it'd be a laugh. And I did it. It's me, Scott Mills. Who? Who else was on there? A Nolan. Jeez. And the bloke who wrote Cracker. Right. I won easily. But you do the first round, just your specialist subject round, the monkeys, and then you go back. And then when you come back for the second round, you sit down and you do a little interview. Right. And John Humphreys was very friendly with everyone. It's like, oh, bloke who wrote Cracker, what was it like writing Cracker? Scott Mills, what's it like being a successful radio DJ? Nolan, what's it like being a Nolan? And I sat down, and he said, first question to me was, Ian, 11 o'clock show, I didn't like it. How did it ever happen? What? No, there's no comeback to that, is there, at all?
He's so honest.
Yeah, at least he's honest. You've got to hand it to that.
Yeah.
OK, 08700 100 600 is the telephone number. Ben, go man them phones. Go man them phones. 08700 100. Quick. The phones are ringing. They're not. 08700 100 600 is the phone number. You can text 64046 or email george.6music@bbc.co.uk. Ooh, they're looking old. Or if you have any questions for Bob Mortimer, who'll be on in about 15, 20 minutes, then now is the time to get in touch with them. Next up, they let me bring in my records here, which is just... You don't get that at any other radio station. Not the other place I work, not anywhere. So I brought in a Sparks song. Yeah, I know, Sparks are brilliant. We were talking about the 21 gigs they did, where they did every night, they did a different album live in concert. Did you go to any of them at all?
No, sadly. It was around the birth of my child.
So what? Come on, it's Sparks, isn't it? Hey, I did. I went, this is from my favourite album, Little Beethoven. I had to leave early before they played this song, and I was gutted, and I was cursing, and I can't remember why, but I was very upset. So here's Suburban Homeboy. Thank you. This song has got jokes in, and they're all fantastic. What a delight it is to be working here on Six Music, filling in for George Lamb. I must say, I'm having lots of fun here, lots of fun. It's the last half an hour of me, Ian Lee, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Then Pete Mitchell is in at 1 o'clock, the man who had heard of Man from Del Monte yesterday. It all comes back to them and ABBA. Friday, I'm off tomorrow because it's New Year's Day. It's the best of George Lamb, I believe. But Friday we're back, and I believe we're celebrating the magic of ABBA. Is that we're all bringing in a... ABBA costumes.
I'm not bothered.
Oh, come on. What is wrong with you? You wouldn't sing do the sing-along. Ben's going to be wearing his ABBA jumpsuit, he's told me, and his Benny beard.
Well, maybe that's the reason to come in.
That's the reason to come in, for goodness sakes. Come on, let's all enjoy ourselves here if you want. Right, OK, it's the last 30 minutes of the show coming up. Let's quickly... but very quickly, before we go to the news, people who don't they look old? David Essex looks 90. He does look like Yoda all of a sudden, doesn't he? His face has just kind of imploded on itself. And Ian, David Jason depresses me now. We're used to seeing Only Fools and Horses every Christmas. Now he looks really old. Oh, well. Dan in Woking's like, he's like, oh, well. Time now for the BBC Six Music News.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Israel resists pressure for Gaza ceasefire. Britain's sports stars come out on top in the New Year's honours. And 2009 begins in New Zealand.
And in Six Music News, Plant needs musician on honours list. Kings of Leon vows for 2009. And Madonna rakes it in on tour.
Six Music.
BBC News at 12:30. I'm Mike Crook.
Six Music.
BBC Six Music.
Ian Lee on BBC Six Music.
I'm set to lose my life or lose my love.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Celebrity Showbiz Quiz Shooting Stars. And here are your hosts for this evening, Vic Reeves and Bob Mortimer.
It was a bit slick there, wasn't it? It's Bob Mortimer on the phone!
Hi, Ian!
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
What are you pretending to do? A radio show?
Yes, you're live on BBC Six Music. You may not have heard of it. It's a digital radio station.
It's got digits, that's great. And lovely to speak to my favourite lady in the whole world.
Thanks very much. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine.
Good.
What do you want from me?
Well, I thought we'd talk about the brand new series of Shooting Stars that started last night.
Yes. Did you watch it?
Well,
Did you think we looked old?
Well, now, it's funny you should say that. We are doing a Ooh, Don't They Look Old feature today, where people are letting us know, you know, people like Chris Tarrant and Tom Jones, who do look old all of a sudden. I thought Vic looked very old.
But I think Judy Finnegan looks a bit old, doesn't she?
Judy Finnegan does look very old,
Ulrika,
yes.
Ulrika looks as if knocking on a bit as well, let's be honest.
What was Ulrika doing with her eye makeup yesterday?
I think she was trying to attract the Radio 6 people.
It wasn't working. It was good. It was very enjoyable. You made a mistake, though. I noticed you had Jack D instead of Ian Lee. Was there must have been some mistake somewhere there in the booking system.
Yes, it was pointed out to us that he was the more talented of
the two. Yes, I see. I have a question from a listener. May I ask it to your ears?
You mean your listener? The listener?
A listener. His name is Mr. Cheese. I don't think that's his real name.
Okay.
Can you ask Bob Mortimer if Dizzy Rascal was as annoyed as he looked when Vic called him Dozy Rascal?
No, he was. He had a really nice time, Dizzy.
Did he?
He was. I think I'd say he was right up for it. He had a nice time. Yes. He looked confused sometimes.
He did look very confused, but he seemed to have fun. Does anybody come on and at the end of it go, "How dare you? How dare you?"
No one said that. Perhaps if they had Captain Tate on the word, but no. I'm in the cellar at the moment, Ian, washing my dungarees. It's quite hard to hear you, but I hope it's going well.
It's all right. Why are you washing them in the cellar?
It's just a New Year's Eve tradition of my family to wash our dungarees as near to the centre of the earth as we can. I'm going to a bungalow party tonight.
What, that means it's held in a bungalow, does it?
Yes. Oh, it's not. It's what it is. I actually call it Sefton Botany. Me and my family go to the nearest bungalow and hide out in the garden and watch their New Year's Eve through the windows. It's very entertaining.
It sounds like fun. Sounds a little bit creepy, Bob.
It is a bit creepy.
That's part of the fun, I suppose.
No, that's the entirety of the fun.
Now, listen, today's show is owned by a Scottish lady in Glasgow called Laura Green. She owns it.
Sounded lovely, yes.
She's on the line now. Are you there, Laura?
I am, yes.
Hello, Laura.
Hello, Bob.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Are you looking forward to the bungalow soiree?
Oh, I can't wait, honestly.
That sounds good, actually. We've only got semi-detached round here, but I might be doing something similar.
Do you live in a bungalow?
No, it's
not like you might live in a high-rise flat.
I aspire to live in a bungalow, though.
Of course, well, doesn't everyone?
Right, Laura, I believe you have a question for Bob Mortimer.
I do, okay. Yeah. Now, I hope this is a long way off, and I don't want to put a morbid spin on this happy time of year, but Bob, what song would you like to be cremated to?
I would like to be cremated to a song by the group Squeeze called Some Fantastic Place. I've agreed with my comedy partner Vic that whichever one of us goes first, the other one will sing that at the cremation.
Can I come?
You can't try and invite yourself to Bob's cremation.
No, well, if she's Scottish, she'll go long before us for lung cancer.
If there's a buffet, I'll be there.
Laura, listen, thank you very much, Laura.
Okay, have a great new year.
Okay, happy new year. And well done for enjoying the show and owning it.
Cheers,
there we go, lovely. I just said well done for enjoying the show. That's not what I meant to say at all. So what is happening in the new year for you, Bob? What can we see you on the TV box?
Well, I've ordered the Guitar Hero Moroccan Rock. It's full of Moroccan rock songs, so I'll be playing that in January. And in February, well, I hope we'll be doing some new Shooting Stars. That's my hope and wish.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You can come along and be a skipper or something like that.
Oh, you keep saying that, and then it never happens. I don't believe a word you say. Hey, listen, this is, can we play our favourite clip?
Can I just ask you something, Ian, please?
Of course you can, Bob, yes.
Earlier on, you played a song with a gravelly-voiced singer, and you did the ending of it up and down, but you never told us who it was. It was ever so good.
Was that Pearl Jam?
It was
Pearl Jam. No, was it really?
You don't say no. Yes, it was. It was Pearl Jam.
Okay, thank you very much for that information, and carry on. Sorry to interrupt the flow.
Can we play you our favourite clip from last night's show?
Of course you may.
Have a listen to this. This is very funny.
Oh, Kate. Oh. Kate, just indulge me for a moment. Just sit there and relax.
Okay.
I'm just going to creep down behind you.
Okay.
And if I may, just...
This bit, listen to this. This is brilliant. Fantastic. How do you come up with those ideas, Bob?
We've always liked using false legs, and you have to place false legs in a context and over the shoulders of
TV. We should have mentioned, sorry, there were false legs involved in that visual clip that we just played. Sorry, that may not have come across in the bit we just played there.
There's no may about it, it didn't.
No, okay, well then we'll move on. Very quickly, you are a big gamer. I said gamer.
That's a gamer.
You're a big gamer.
Yes, I am.
You've recently, this is true, you've recently completed Gears of War 2, have you?
I completed it yesterday.
And is the end satisfying?
The end is satisfying like a good book. It's, you know, it's filled with sorrow and a feeling of achievement, you know?
Yes, I do, though. And after Guitar Hero, what will be the next one you play?
I'm looking forward, of course, to the release of Resident Evil in March.
Yes, look forward to that.
That's a first-person shooter. I can't wait for it to come out.
Okay.
How about yourself? I sometimes see your gamer tag on the Xbox and you're playing Worms.
I do play Worms quite a lot. I'm also playing Left 4 Dead, which is the zombie game, which is very good.
Oh, those zombies, they just keep coming, don't they?
Bob, listen, enjoy your dungarees and your bungalow party.
I will do.
And I'll speak to you next year. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes, I love your husband. Bye-bye.
What a delightful young gentleman there. Bob Mortimer, you may remember him from the olden days. Here's Stephen Stills. Mm-hmm. And we can all breathe a sigh of relief because this is coming to an end. It's been a, So, as I said, it's been a show. It's been almost a show, I think. We've had some ups and downs, some traumas, some tribulations. So we, a big thank you. Who was the fellow we got that wasn't Mark Watson?
Mike Watson.
Mike... Thank you to Mike Watson. You've saved the show and you fulfilled a dream of coming on air and pretending to be a comedian, which is very nice. Laura, of course, the whole show shall be packaged in a nice, attractive box, tied with a cardboard ribbon, and sent to you immediately. When I say that, I don't mean that literally, of course. I'm meaning metaphorically, in our hearts. But it's always your show at any point in the near future, or any when you're 70. You can always look back and say, when Ian Lee filled in for George Lamb on New Year's Eve, that's my show, that is. Sort of. What's Ben doing out there? Look at him trying getting free internet access while
he's
he can.
Mouthing work, but I'm not sure.
He just knows that his time is going to be kicked out of his soon back to student radio where they have to pay for the internet. I was thinking, when I was at college, at university, that we didn't have computers. We still had to handwrite our essays and things like that. How old am I? Okay, so you did news last night, means you're not doing anything this evening?
Nothing.
Just chilling, watching the Hogmanay on the telly?
Maybe a bit of Jules.
A bit of Hardeep Singh Kohli, I think he's doing some nonsense on the telly. Jeff?
Babysitting mode.
Babysitting. I shall be having a fantastic party and it'll be a great success, I'm sure. Happy New Year, everyone. I shall be back on Monday. Best of George Lamb is tomorrow, and coming up in about 3 minutes, it's Pete Mitchell, so do stick around. Thank you.